secularism, even when it's legally strong, even when it seems to control the commanding heights of academia, it's humanly weak because it cuts against basic human impulses and desires and aspirations.
New York Times columnist Ross Douthat speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
And it's also weak because people keep having intimations that the world is more than just a bunch of atoms clashing together. And so the religious impulse always makes a comeback. And in that sense, it isn't a question of whether you're going to have a secular or a religious public square. It's a question of what kind of religious public square you're going to have.
You can listen to Ross Douthat's presentation, Making the Case Why the Public Square Needs Christianity, on a recording from our 2019 Making the Case conference. We'll send it to you along with a recording of Advent and Christmas hymns for a year-end tax-deductible contribution of $300. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
When Trump supports something that doesn't align with Scripture, that's not great, but he doesn't try to twist Scripture to justify himself. The actual danger with Trump comes in when Christians do that for him.
Young Americans who are agitating for socialism or for Marxism-Leninism are blithering fools.
The reason why all of society needs to have an interest in marriage is because it has an interest in children.
So when you have modern-day preachers preaching the idea that you can accept Christ, this is foolishness. We don't accept, we receive.
Military families in Asia love Issues Etc.
Issues Etc.
Well, the Democratic Attorneys General Association made an announcement several days ago, kind of an ill-timed announcement. They went along with the rest of the Democratic Party, pretty much, saying that their endorsements would only go to candidates for attorneys general who were unequivocally pro-abortion. They had to be, well, in line with the party, so to speak. This is not surprising, of course, how quickly the Democratic Party over the last 2 years has moved to an extremist, I would say absolutist position on abortion. It must be abortion on demand for any reason, all 9 months, up to and including the moment of birth, or you're not a true believer in the Democratic Party. That's certainly true at the national level. But there are pro-life Democrats, especially pro-life Democrat voters. What does such an announcement say to them? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Wednesday afternoon, November the 20th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be talking with Kristen Day, Executive Director of Democrats for Life, about this announcement. Then a little bit later, we'll spend some time going through your email and the Issues Etc. listener comment line. In hour two, we'll look forward to Sunday morning, according to the three-year lectionary, talking with Dr. Carl Fikencher about Jesus' crucifixion in Luke chapter 23. Joining us to discuss an announcement by the Democratic Attorneys General Association that it will endorse only pro-choice candidates, Kristen Day, a regular guest and executive director of Democrats for Life based in Washington, D.C. Kristen, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Oh, thank you for having me on.
What are you doing in Atlanta?
We are here in Atlanta. The Democratic debate is tonight, and we are holding a pro-life Democrat rally outside the Tyler Perry studio.
At this rally, what kind of feedback are you getting?
Well, the rally starts at 5, so we'll see. We've been at every single Democratic debate so far, outside of the debate, sharing our point of view that the Democratic Party should be a big tent inclusive party and allow pro-life Democrats to vote their conscience on this issue. So we're expecting a big crowd tonight. This is a big pro-life area. So we're excited to be out there tonight.
How would you characterize this field of candidates when it comes to abortion?
Well, I think it's pretty clear that a majority of them support abortion up to birth, which is very, very disappointing for pro-life Democratic candidates. The only one who has actually shown some moderation on this issue is Tulsi Gabbard. As you know, she came out at the last debate and said that abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. And that, to me, was very exciting to see.
The Democratic Attorneys General Association recently made an announcement. What did they say?
Oh, it's interesting that on the eve of a huge victory in the South, of having pro-life Democratic Governor John Bel Edwards be reelected, they come out and decide that it's a good time to put a abortion litmus test on any candidates who want to run for attorney general. The timing couldn't be worse for them.
Is this a winning strategy, in your opinion?
No, absolutely not. When we look at 2016, we saw a lot of pro-life Democrats stay home because they just couldn't bring themselves to vote for a candidate who said that abortion should be legal up to 9 months. And the current slate of candidates are all taking that position. And the party itself is really pushing even further to abortion extremism. And I mean, the majority of the nation does not support that.
Why are attorneys general so important to the pro-abortion cause?
Well, because they want to legislate through the legal process rather than trying to get some legislation passed. I mean, New York was successful in getting their abortion extremism passed, but in other states there's been pushback, and a lot of it has been from pro-life Democratic legislators who, in New Mexico, in Georgia, and other states who have pushed back against this abortion extremism. I think the attorney generals feel that if they get their pro-abortion candidates elected, they don't have to enforce the current law.
Why do you think that groups like this, and as you've pointed out, increasingly the National Party, the Democratic Party, have moved toward abortion absolutism?
You know, they see it as a good fundraising tool. They're, you know, and the abortion industry is very good about raising money. So I think it really comes down to that, is the financing and the money to elect these candidates.
So in other words, they are using this to court the money of the abortion industry?
Well, the abortion industry is very good at raising money. And so they have been scaring women into thinking that their rights are going to be taken away. So they've been able to really garner a lot of support and raise money for the Democratic Party. And they really have a stranglehold over the party right now. And they really shame and bully pro-life Democrats into not being true to their conscience, being true to what they believe, because they're so fearful of losing their reelection. I mean, we look at in Illinois right now, Dan Lipinski, he stayed firm on his pro-life position. And this, for the second year in a row, Democratic money is being used to try to defeat him. And that's what we see. They come in, they go into these seats, and they primary against pro-life Democrats. And historically, a lot of those seats then go to Republican candidates. So it's not a very good strategy.
Is this a part of a larger trend in the Democratic Party?
Yes. When we see, you know, California obviously is pushing the RU-46 and all the college campuses, and New York is really pushing this strategy, but it doesn't play everywhere. You know, there were two gubernatorial elections just recently, and one we saw John Bel Edwards in Louisiana, a red state, Trump won, and he did not shy away from his pro-life position at all. He's proud of it. It was a source of strength for his campaign. People embraced him. And then when you go over to Mississippi, there was actually a pro-life Democrat running there too. Nobody knew he was pro-life. And he lost, but John Bel Edwards won. I think that was the difference. So if Democrats want to win, they have to look at this, like, this abortion extremism doesn't play everywhere. And especially in the South, John Bel Edwards is the only Democratic governor in the South. If they want to have more victories, they can't continue down this path of abortion extremism. You know, people are going to wake up and realize that this is not good for women. You know, when you look at New York, they have some of the most lenient abortion laws in the nation, and they also have the highest abortion rate in the nation. California, same way. They have some of the most of the lenient laws making abortion less safe for women, but they also have the highest abortion rate in the nation. So I think the Democratic Party would be much better off looking at ways to, you know, as Tulsi Gabbard said in the last debate, make abortion safe, legal, and rare. That's a much better strategy, and it's more mainstream, more support nationwide for that position. But it just makes no sense to try to make abortion increase the rates rather than decrease them.
Planned Parenthood's acting president, Alexis McGill Johnson, said of the attorney general's new position, "Attorney generals are some of the most important people protecting our ability to access sexual and reproductive health care, including abortion. Every party should support our right to access health care. This shouldn't be a Democratic or Republican value. This is fundamental." What's your response?
Well, I think, yeah, it's true. We want everybody to have access to health care and medical care. But again, abortion is not health care for anyone. You know, when somebody goes into an abortion, one person dies. and the other person is scarred. You know, not everybody goes away from their abortion feeling great and relieved and goes on with their life. A lot of women have long-standing problems and depression and the inability to get pregnant again. So it's not, abortion clearly is not healthcare, and to continue to mislead people into thinking it is just really, really a disgusting strategy by the abortion industry.
What does this announcement from the Democratic Attorneys General Association say to pro-life Democratic voters?
You know, that's a good question. On Twitter, I did tweet that back to them. Like, what do you want from pro-life Democratic voters then? Do you want the pro-life Democrats to vote for these candidates, even though you don't want them in the party? Or what does it say? I think it would be a very good question for them to have to answer. And second, I think for a party that prides itself on diversity and inclusion, like, this goes directly against it, that policy, and discriminates against a group of people. About a third of Democrats consider them pro-life. You know, only 18% of Democrats support abortion in the third trimester. So their policy really is very discriminatory toward their own base.
This decision by the Attorneys General Association, talk about its impact on attorney generals and how Democrats are doing in state elections.
Jim Hood, I believe, the pro-life Democrat who ran for governor in Mississippi, is currently the sitting attorney general in Mississippi. So I wonder, do they want him to step down because he would not be an endorsed candidate? Do they want him to run again? Would they say, no, we're not going to support you? Or what if a pro-life Democrat wants to run in Louisiana? And what are they going to say to that person? So this policy is just dumb, bottom line.
Do you expect any of the Democratic presidential candidates to address this announcement at the debate? And if so, how?
I would hope that at least one of the presidential candidates would step up and say that, you know what, this is a discriminatory policy toward voters who want to support Democrats, and urge the attorney generals to withdraw this policy. Doubtful that anyone will be brave enough to do that, but I would like to see that.
What does it say to you, Kristen, about kind of the movement of what our expectations are for especially national Democratic parties, that when Tulsi Gabbard, as you mentioned before, comes out and simply says this modestly pro-choice position, safe, legal, and rare, that used to kind of be the standard rhetoric, is vilified for it.
You know, from the pro-life Democrat perspective, we're very grateful for that position to come back and be more moderate on the abortion. This extremism is just not popular. It's bad for women. It's bad for the party to take this extremist position. So I'm just so disgusted and disappointed in the party really continuing to go down this road. We really need to move back and moderate on this issue. Safe, legal, and rare is something that pro-choice and pro-life Democrats can come and unite behind. So we want to be a big tent party to try to unify people. It's a mainstream position that should be the platform of the Democratic Party.
Kristen Day is Executive Director of Democrats for Life of America, based in Washington, D.C. We'll post a link to Democrats for Life at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Kristen, thank you.
Thank you.
Up next, it's listener email. Our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. And the Issues Etc. listener comment line, that number, 618-223-8382. We'll go through some of that with our listeners next.
Secularism, even when it's legally strong, even when it seems to control the commanding heights of academia, it's humanly weak because it cuts against basic human impulses and desires and aspirations.
New York Times columnist Ross Douthat speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
And it's also weak because people keep having intimations that the world is more than just a bunch of atoms clashing together. And so the religious impulse always makes a comeback. And in that sense, it isn't a question of whether you're going to have a secular or a religious public square. It's a question of what kind of religious public square you're going to have.
You can listen to Ross Douthat's presentation, Making the Case Why the Public Square Needs Christianity, on a recording from our 2019 Making the Case conference. We'll send it to you along with a recording of Advent and Christmas hymns for a year-end tax-deductible contribution of $300. Learn more at IssuesETC.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Remember when education was about the fundamental skills of reading, writing, and arithmetic, and about reading great literature and studying history to give our kids a model for what it is to be a good person? Memoria Press's classical Christian curriculum offers that very model for your homeschool. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Do you know any military veterans in your church or community? Do you have a passion to support and reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Then Operation Barnabas is for you. Called by Christ's love, Operation Barnabas engages, empowers, and equips LCMS faith communities to provide hope, healing, and support to military-connected persons living in their community. Operation Barnabas is a program of LCMS Ministry to the Armed Forces. Find out more at lcms.org/armedforces.